Do I say testing, testing, testing?
Oh, I guess you can, Frank. this recording is a part of a Springfield Greene County Library District 2010 Big Read. And the date of this broadcast is March the 2nd of 2010. I am about to begin my interview with Mr. Frank Kim, who is
King.
I'm sorry, K-I-N-G. Frank, how old are you?
92.
92. Have you lived in the Ash Grove area most of or all of your life?
It's most of it.
Most of it. At about what ages were you gone from the Ash Grove area?
From 1940 to 69.
To 69. Okay. So at 92, what year were you born in?
1917.
Yeah, 1917. Well, the first question I'm going to ask you, a couple questions, are about the Depression. And the first thing, I guess 1917, you were in your late teens during the Depression. Is that a fair guess?
Yeah.
What are your recollections of your life during the Depression?
Prior to the Depression or during the Depression?
Well, right prior to it and during.
Okay. I had a perfect life up till about 1929.
Okay. What was, described that perfect life?
Well, I had a grandfather, was doing well, spent a lot of time with him.
Was he a farmer?
No. His favorite saying was, if you don't have a ship out, you'll never have one coming in.
Okay.
And he had one out all the time. He bought wheat. He had his own elevator in Harrell, Missouri, which is gone now.
Mm-hmm.
And he bought wheat and shipped it out to Chicago.
And did you work with him or for him before 1920?
No, I was just a child.
Just
tagging along.
Okay. What happened in 1929?
Well, it was gradual. You see, we were converting from the horse and buggy days to mechanical days. And I don't think they just intermixed. So my granddad had a car, but we still had a horse and buggy. Very few cars on the road. And the Depression hit. You couldn't buy a car. You couldn't replace any of the stuff that you had because you had no money. And also, we had a terrible drought at that time. I told my niece the other day that I never borrowed a dime in my life. And she couldn't understand that. We borrowed, I think, $1,200 from John Perriman here in Ash Grove to buy 10 old milk cows. During the Depression years, or the drought years, if cane grew up, it was death to cattle if they ate it. I looked across there and there was three of them in the cane field. They died instantly. We paid on that note for 10 years. Cows all gone, but we paid the note.
Mm-hmm. How was life for you personally, say, 1930?
I was a kid, and it didn't bother me. But my uncle, Jim King, had a farm out here on the river, mm-hmm. and he was prosperous. Mm-hmm. He lost his farm.
Did he lose it? Did he have a mortgage?
He had a mortgage, and he couldn't pay it. That's what I mean. Those people hurt. I didn't hurt. I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But it hurt those people, hundreds of them.
Did you live with your parents during this time?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what was their occupation? What did they do for income?
It's farmers.
Farmers, mm-hmm. Okay. So you made it through the Depression. And so let me ask you about, when did you get electricity in your home? I'm very curious about.
We never had it.
Okay, how old were you when you had electricity in the home you were living in? How old were you?
Well, I left in 40 and we still didn't have it.
In 40, you mm-hmm. still did not have electricity, okay. When in 1940, where did you go?
California.
You went to California. What did you do in California?
I was starved to death.
Starved to death.
I went to California with $70. I had earned $1 a day. And I stayed with the Cages because they had left Phoenix when the Depression hit to go to California. I didn't have an occupation. So there was an ad in the paper, the aircraft, trained to work at aircraft factories. Well, I took about $35 of my dollars to spend on tuition mm-hmm. and spent 6 weeks there. And then I got a job.
And how long were you in California then, too?
39 years.
Why did you come back to Ash Grove, Missouri?
Oh, gosh. I looked at Ash Grove, and I thought to myself, I'd been gone for 39 years, you know. Mm-hmm. I said, they can hire 3,000 good workers here at minimum pay. It's got to grow.
Did it grow?
It didn't grow a bit. I left here, it was 950 people, and I came back as 1,000, and I didn't know. I thought it had to grow, but it didn't have to grow.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you about, you left Ash Grove at about 23. Is that about right, how old you were, about 23? What are your memories of Main Street? What would you do on Main Street in the...
Well, Saturday night you came to town. Mm-hmm. As talk to people, as all. Mm-hmm. Listen to band concert. I played the band.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yes. They tried to make a musician. And I was a musician, but they tried to make a musician.
Well, what instrument did you play?
An alto alto horn.
Okay. Very so you don't think you were very good at it?
No. The only thing the alto done was toot, toot. The bass would go boom. You go toot, toot. Now, that's the alto horn.
Okay. So they had band concerts. What were some of the businesses on Main Street that you remember?
Well, today, a kid puts his dollar bill in a vending machine and he gets whatever. I remember Mr. Mason run the drugstore. And you'd go in and get an ice cream cone. If I was a Republican, he'd give me a double dip. But if I was a Democrat, he wouldn't give me a double dip. So I became a Republican real quick.
So is that what made you be a Republican then? That's wonderful. The other fellows I've interviewed talked about movie theaters on Main Street.
Well, yes, it was a nice one. Mm-hmm. Sid Meitinger. Did you ever say anything about Sid Meitinger?
No.
He was a blind man in town. Mm-hmm. And he had a little popcorn stand. And he served popcorn. Sid was there Saturday night. I don't know whatever happened to Sid. But the movie it was. But I'll tell you about the first movie I ever saw. With John Bloomers and Warren Grove. And it didn't have seats. It had boards stretched between sawhorses. Well, he had a son that was, I think he's deaf. But... at that time, no sign language, you know, and he just kind of existed. And he ran the projector. He had to crank it with a crank. Well, all he had was the cats for the movie. That's the only feature he had. Well, the old cat would just get to moving like he's just about to die, you know, and Mr. Bloomer would say, hey, or whatever, you know, and he'd speed the cat up and the cat jump off the screen. That's about all you see in the movie, that cat slowing down and jumping off the screen.
Was that a talkie?
Oh, no, it wasn't a talkie.
So when did you see the first talkie?
Oh, God. Oh, I don't... Now, the first talkie was about the same way. Down in Phoenix, we lived about a mile and a half from Phoenix. This loudspeaker came in down there, and you could hear it all over the countryside. Well, we couldn't figure out what was going on. So they was advertising a talkie movie. So everybody got around and getting ready to go to talkie movie, you know. Well, it was silent. But one place, the gunshot, boom, and the guy fell over and he hollered, I'm shot, I'm shot. And that was a talkie. But we was driving home, my little brother says, well, he said, I'm shot, I'm shot. That's all the talkie was.
In our brief conversation so far, you've mentioned Phoenix twice. I would like to for you to tell our listeners what your recollections about Phoenix Quarry are.
Well, is it my recollection or what I think about Phoenix?
Either one is fine.
To this day, I don't know how it existed. I really don't. We had no safety men. We didn't know what they were. We didn't have any time study men. We didn't have any police. We didn't have any all these other things we have today. And yet they produced, and it's happy, happy people. The company was real good. Now, they can say what they want to about Company Town, but the Phoenix Marble Company was good. Because any farmer that had a broken piece of machinery go down there and they'd weld it for him. And at Christmas time, all the farm kids went in there, and they all got an orange and a sack of candy. Now, the other kids, they all got a gift, but the neighborhood.
Okay, there is a company town that set across from the quarry, and mm-hmm. do you have any memories of what that town might have been like? Do you know anything about that?
Well, how did they raise that big family in those small houses? They all had four or five kids.
Well, I've wondered that myself, yeah.
I don't know how they did it.
Did they know anything about their pay?
No, what?
Their pay, how they...
Well, for the time, I think it was relatively good. At the time, I didn't pay attention to it.
Okay. How would they ship their product out of Phoenix? Was there
by rail?
Okay, there. I've seen pictures of an old railroad station there. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Okay, was there passenger service there?
Oh yes, I rode a train out there to Springfield.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I asked one of the men earlier about the Leaky Roof Railroad. Any recollections about that?
Well, that's debatable in my mind. Was that the Leaky Roof or the other up through Willard, up mm-hmm. to there. Mm-hmm. Now, that's debatable. I never heard that the Phoenix Railroad called the Leaky Roof.
Oh, you've never heard that term?
No.
Okay. There was a railroad. I can't recall at this particular moment its mm-hmm. name, but its nickname
was
Leaky
Roof. But I think
Leaky
the people
Roof.
In the, maybe in the, from on that railroad would call a Phoenix when the Leaky Roof, and the Phoenix people would call that other than the Leaky Roof.
Okay.
Now, I think that's just kind of the way it was. Okay. I'm not sure.
One of the things I remember as a kid is the Ash Grove Lime Company. What are some of your memories of that? Do you know how many employees they had and what did they actually do?
They had a quarry about 3 miles from our farm, but I never had anything to do with it much. You'd hear the dynamite go off, and that's about it. One fella got burned real bad. Of course, that made the lantern exploded on him.
Did you go to school in Ash Grove or you went to school here in Ash Grove? Yeah. Did you go to high school here?
Yes.
Okay, so and you went up at the old school or was there another building?
No, we went right overhead here.
Oh, right in this building?
Oh, yes.
That's interesting. I didn't know
it
that.
It is. It's real interesting.
And what are some of the things you studied?
Agriculture.
Okay, mm-hmm. You study history and geography and all that?
Oh, we did that in high school.
Okay.
We'd come down here for about 6 hours a day and we'd walk back up to high school.
Okay. Do you know anything? Let's see. We talked about movie theaters. We talked about the pharmacy. Any other businesses on town that you have some memories of?
All of them.
Okay.
Mr. Mike to run the meat shop up here. My dad would go in on Saturday night. Of course, no refrigeration, and he'd order a steak for Sunday. Well, Mr. Meinzer, I think, was crippled. I'm not sure. But he'd go back there in the cooler and get one of the quarter beef and wag out there on his shoulder and throw it on a chopping block, cut you off the steak.
Mm-hmm.
That's Mr. Meinzer.
Was that a butcher shop that a farmer might bring in some cattle?
No, I don't know where they got their meat. I don't
okay.
know.
So you don't have any recollection of that.
Now, another old fellow I remember was Mr. Short. He'd shoot so many horses he couldn't straighten up.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What would he do with them?
Shoot them. But,
just, that's okay. He'd shoot for other people.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. And then he had a toothache one time. He went to the dentist. The dentist said, well, Mr. Short, I can't pull that tooth. It's infected. He went back and took a chisel and put on a tooth and knocked it out.
Well, I'm sure glad they don't do that today.
Well, that was take care of yourself.
As a young boy in Ash Grove, and as a young boy, let's say, between the ages...
Now, let's get back to education factor.
Okay. Tell me about education.
I enrolled in John Brown University of Silver Springs, Arkansas. That was a work-study school, mm-hmm. religious. I went down, I had 4 years of vocational agriculture. Now, you try to go to a liberal arts college with 4 years of agriculture. You know what I got out of high school? To call chickens, 2 fingers or 3 fingers. If you couldn't get 3 fingers in, they wouldn't lay in, you'd sell them. Mm-hmm. Now, that's preparing you for life. I didn't know what they first put me in college chemistry. Now, can you imagine that? Never, didn't even know what the word chemistry meant.
How did you do?
I don't know. I don't know. I stayed 4 months and I came home.
Did you come home? Did you come home because, did you miss home?
I was homesick, I will admit. But there you were, at the time, affluent families, if they had unruly kids, they'd send them to John Brown University. We were the poor kids. We stayed in the basement, you know.
So are you trying to tell me you were an unruly kid?
Well,
to get
no,
in a little mischief,
we went
maybe?
There to get in that. The unruly kids were supposed to be straightened out. And that was quite a division. I found out that the other people had money in the world.
It's okay.
Real right. Quick.
All right. Well, do you have any other stories you'd like to say?
Oh, I've got stories. I tell you all day long.
Well, give me, just pick one, something funny or silly that you recall.
Funny. Now, my neighbors, I witnessed the Depression. First, the guy came back from California. He was a carpenter. In fact, he built backdrops for movies in Hollywood. That kind of a carpenter he was. He'd come back to stay with his mother. Well, at that time, the Depression was just working on. So he stayed there, and his mother passed away, and he still lived there. Then his brother came in, Jim. And he's working the oil fields in Kansas, Oklahoma, with a family. And he had four kids he brought back with him. Now, this is a three-roomed house. Well, they survived. And then the next year, here come a daughter in with three kids. The next year, here come another daughter with three kids. And they all survived in that little three-room house. And how they done it, I don't know. It just, and that's what happened. Neighbors on the other side, their kids started coming back. And that's what the Depression made up of. People is thriving.
Did you have a girlfriend as a young man?
Oh, gosh, no.
No girlfriends?
Talked to a girl, and I turned red in the face, and I couldn't say a word.
Is that a fact?
That's right.
Or have you been a bachelor all these?
No, I didn't get married. I was 45, and I was too young then. You should get married. You're 70 years old.
Well, what do you have to say to young kids today that are getting married in their early 20s? Is that too young?
Well, marriage isn't a 50-50 deal. It's a 30-70. Now, someone's going to have to give. Now, I don't know which one is, a woman or the man, but one or the other is going to have to give.
So you were embarrassed as a young boy to talk
gosh,
to girls?
Oh, I just turned red. I couldn't say a word to
is
them.
Is that right?
They tried to make an actor out of me. Now imagine that, trying to make an actor out of me.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to put... Now, Glenn never got in on this, because I don't know why Glenn missed all this stuff. We had a one-act play. Well, in the one-act play, I was supposed to kiss the leading lady. Well, imagine that. Imagine trying to make an actor out of me.
And how old were you then?
Oh, 8, 17.
17.
Yeah.
So you never kissed your leading lady, is that it?
No, she grabbed me and kissed me. I didn't do it. And everybody thought, cheered. They thought that's wonderful. Now, that's how hard up they were for entertainment. Glenn sat back laughing.
Well, you can't blame all this on Glenn now.
I can't, because he never took part in this stuff.
Well.
I never did like boxing. I'd go to my family, and I had two uncles, and they boxed, you know. And they put those gloves on me. Did you ever get hit with a boxing glove?
Too many times.
You see stars. And I'd box. Well, I'd get mad, and then they'd like to see that because I'd box. And then here comes Joe Moore, my beloved ag country teacher. He'd put those darn boxing gloves on me every time. It'd get the devil beat out of you. And it was funny.
Where did your ancestors come from? What part of America did they come to get to rural Missouri?
Oh, I've got so many stories. You'd be here for a week.
Well, I don't know if we have a week, but we've got plenty of time.
The Killingsworth was my mother's side. And they always told me, you know, that the Killingsworth had castles in England and I don't know what all. Well, I didn't know. That's just what I heard. And one morning I got up and I said, I'm going to take a trip. I'm just tired of sitting around the house. So I got my car, drove, went to Cape Girardeau, wanted to see the river. I always, Mississippi fascinated me. And I got over there, and that wasn't what I wanted to see. So I went across the river into Illinois and driving over there, and I stopped at a donut shop and was at telling the woman what I was looking for. And she said, you go and get on this highway and you go down to Ohio River. I think you'll enjoy that. So I went down there to Leconte, Illinois, little town, right on the river. The next morning, I was sitting in there, place just exactly like Willie B's down here in Ash Grove. Just exactly, you wouldn't know the difference if you shut your eye and went from one to the other. A guy came in, he had immigration service rolled across his cap. And he says, I'm here to check your green card. I said, my gosh, man, look at me. I've been here a long time. And, well, he said, by the way, my name is Bill Killingsworth. And I said, well, I'm half Killingsworth. You can't arrest me. His forefather stayed there. And there was more Killingsworths in that town than there is here. But my family here never did say anything about him. Now imagine that. So he gave me the Killingsworth's history, clear back to 1621. And in that history, this woman from one of the Killingsworths there went to married a guy, and he went to Idaho. Well, my granddad said that he had gone to Idaho when he was a young man, but I never questioned about it. How come he told me? He said he could roll a wheelbarrow of brick and turn them over without tearing them up. So he got hired. Well, come to find out in this guy's history, they had recorded that where she lived, and he went to see his cousin. He didn't tell me that.
Well, Mr. King, we're out of time, so I'm going to turn the mic off.
Out of time?
Yeah, but you can continue talking when I turn the mic off.
Recorded as part of the Springfield-Greene County Library District's 2010 Big Read. For more information, contact the library at 417-883-5366 or visit us on the web at thelibrary.org.